Now, lots of developments continuing this morning in the stripping of the titles of Prince Andrew, who will now be known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Buckingham Palace has confirmed in the last few minutes that he's been removed from the official role of the peerage, effectively meaning he has lost his Duke of York title. It comes after he was told that his name is no longer appearing on the official roll. Dukes are listed on the roll of the peerage maintained at the Crown Office, and as Lord Chancellor David Lammy is responsible for maintaining the peerage roll, and the King issued royal warrants for the Dukedom of York to no longer be recognised in the list of peerages, which is the effect of removing Andrew's title. Of course, he's also been told he will have to leave his 30-room Windsor mansion. He's been ordered to leave Royal Lodge, a 30-room mansion that's been his home for the last 20 years. It's a sprawling property located in Windsor Great Park and was granted to Andrew by the late Queen. Sits on an estate of 99 acres, has a swimming pool, an aviary, six lodge cottages, a gardener's cottage, and accommodation for police protecting the royals to stay in. He'll have to move out of there, and that's all part of the statement being made by Buckingham Palace, cutting him loose following the publication of Virginia Giuffre's autobiography, in which she alleged that she was forced to have sex three times with the former prince as part of being trafficked by notorious paedophile Jeffrey Epstein, a close friend of Prince Andrew's for many years. Prince Andrew, or Andrew I should say, as he's now called, has denied strenuously all of those charges, but made a settlement with Giuffre a number of years ago. With me on the line to talk about this in the context, I suppose, of what's being said, and particularly what's being said by Virginia Giuffre's family in relation to the abuse that she suffered at his hands, is Kirsty McFetridge of the Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre, CEO of the Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre, and Christy, can I ask you first of all, look, this is an international story. It's a very high profile story. It involves some of the most powerful people in the world. But I suppose at the heart of it, as what we're seeing now, is this is, or do you think this is a victim that's being listened to, maybe even posthumously listened to by the powers that be?
Yeah, well, I suppose we really welcome the decision that King Charles has made to remove Andrew of his title, and now he has to leave his mansion. And I think why we welcome it, and from my perspective, it's such an important decision, is because it really demonstrates that, I suppose, neither money or power, or in this case even royalty, should protect anybody, and that they're not above experiencing significant consequences when it comes to issues around sexual violence. But I think the piece especially that must be so important to Virginia's family, and I know it means a lot to survivors who are hearing the news as well, I'm sure, is it really does indicate that she has been heard and believed. And it's just, it's so sad and so tragic that she's not here to see it. But I think that piece around really indicating that she has been heard is so important.
Yeah, that key thing, Christy, really, that there are consequences. There can be, there will be, no matter who you are, for this type of abuse.
Yeah, I mean, we know the rates of sexual violence in Ireland are still really high. The CSO did a report around sexual violence in Ireland, and the most recent report says that still 52% of women and 28% of men are experiencing sexual violence in their lifetime in Ireland. But the piece that I think means a lot from the research that came out is that only 53% of women actually disclose to anyone at all that they've experienced sexual violence or abuse, and only 34% of men. And so what we know is the disclosure rates are still really low, where people, you know, don't feel comfortable coming forward and talking to anybody. It's not even that they've reported it to the guards or a service like ourselves, but that they just haven't talked to anyone about it. And of course, we always respect survivors' choice of whether they want to speak to anybody or not. But one of the barriers that we hear time and time again of why people hesitated to come forward is that they had fears around being believed, and especially when the person that abused them or committed some act of sexual violence was in a position of power or influence. I think that fear can be even greater than
anything else. And is that important? Like, her family have said, we, her family, along with her survivor sisters, continue Virginia's battle, will not rest until the same accountability applies to all of her abusers and their abettors connected to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Is that, that's what most important today, that that message goes out there to all survivors, that, you know, you will be believed and you can get justice?
Absolutely. I think especially when people are seeing stories like this, that's one of the reasons why it's so important, is to see that justice can happen. I mean, Virginia was just absolutely inspirational, to her commitment and her pursuit of it. And she had so much courage to come forward, and she gave a voice to a lot of other survivors and a lot of hope. And I think this is just a really powerful message that no one is above experiencing the consequences, and that people will be believed and heard. But she had a really, I suppose I'm also conscious of, you know, she had a really long road and a very difficult
road. A very long and difficult one.
Yeah, and, you know, I will just always, I suppose, honor and remember her, as she was such an amazing woman and so brave and courageous to come forward, as any survivor who comes forward is. And she's just been an amazing advocate for survivors and victims of sexual violence and abuse. And, you know, I think that she'll be remembered as being such an important voice, and that she had the courage to stand up to somebody with that level of influence.
And power and protection. Christy, listen, that's brilliant. We're out of time, but thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us in the programme this morning.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, Christy McFetridge there, the Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre CEO. If you are affected by that story, if you feel you need help, 1-800-633-333. That's 1-800-633-333. It's the free phone, Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre number.